This is a Venkat Studio production.
Welcome, welcome to Ride the Pine. This is Hondo here with Guy. What's up, Guy?
What's up?
Oh, man. So happy to be here. We are a mere 10 days away from the season, so I'm so excited. I'm just like, I'm not into football this year at all, so it's just like...
Wait, what's football?
Hey, I got a Vikings hat, wear it out, just to show, you know, kind of flash it against the Packer fans.
Show that you have a hat.
Yeah. Hey, man, we are live in Ballard at the brand new Venkat Studios. These new microphones are just killing it. So, oh, man. Hey, you know, we just got to get started. We got so much to talk about this week. We have a great feature segment. We are going to be back. Mark is going to be with us for the three-man weave. We need to kick it off and go to This Week in Basketball. Okay, so this is This Week in Basketball. So we're going to just kind of kick it off from the beginning here. So we got to start out with some of our league activity. As we mentioned at the top of the episode, season is starting in 10 days. We have a mere 10 days to get our prediction episode together. And that'll be
episode 10.
That will be episode 10. We have predictions from the East Coast, from the West Coast. We're going to stack rank them, bring it all to you. So excited for that. We're going to have a couple of guests. I think we're going to have some Cleveland fans. We may have some Utah fans,
we might have some Portland
fans, Bulls fans, a lot of different people are.
But you'll have us as well.
Yeah, a lot of people are going to come in for that one. So, hey, that is basically the focal point. Beyond that, you know, preseason play continues, but we'll kind of get into that during the actual gameplay. So I did want to go into a little bit more of a serious topic to start out with. So this isn't finalized. The CBA process is ongoing for the NBA at this point. However, what I've heard thus far is that basically they're at the 50-50 deal that they've been at before. So that's not expected to change. But the one thing that everyone's kind of looking to do is take care of the retired players. So some of that is just financial compensation. Some of that is medical expenses. So given kind of the rigor of NBA basketball, I think that's an awesome gesture. And it's awesome just because what the league was and what the league is today is completely different from a business standpoint. And a lot of these players didn't get that financial assistance earlier on, so they don't have kind of that support, if you will, for some of this, unless they pursued kind of careers outside of basketball. So I'm very interested to kind of see how this plays out, but given kind of wear and tear and given kind of how big some of these guys are and just how, like... How short a lifespan some of them actually live.
It's a nice gesture.
It's a very, very strong gesture. And I have to say one thing, and this is my anti-NFL spike on this today, that this is just so...
Polar opposite.
So awesome versus the NFL, which, like, you dig into the concussion issue in the NFL, and it's just like, they weren't interested in caring for their players. The NBA is making gestures that care for their active players, they care for their former players, they care about their culture around the league. Like, it's so amazing.
It's fun to be a fan of something like this.
Yeah, but it's so positive, and it's like, it's expanding, it's international, it breeds positivity in all aspects. Like, they could clearly just focus on the business aspect and forget about retired players. But they've chosen not to do that. And I think it's partially... I mean, it's both parties. It's definitely Adam Silver and the administration in the NBA. However, it's also, you know, Chris Paul, LeBron James, like people from the NBA Players Association. They are taking this effort to try and make those concessions, and they're basically saying it's more important to us now that we have kind of equal footing at the table to also take care of those than to try and fight for a percentage either way. And frankly, I think it's a deal that's going to benefit all parties. So we'll continue to kind of dig into this as we move along. I just want to touch on this briefly. So Sacramento was basically not supposed to have a stadium. It's like, they were like, it may not even survive at all.
Right.
But as of the preseason, Sacramento has opened up a brand new stadium. So,
right.
And I think that's just a positive aspect from a community that maybe is not perceived as like having a sustained viability,
right,
with the NBA. So I think it gives a big incentive. It should just give a lot of hope to the Sacramento fans out there that, hey, you guys are here to play, and like, we believe in, you know, the team, the management, like the overall NBA believes in having them there.
Yeah, and Kevin Johnson, a former NBA player's efforts were not for naught, you know.
Yeah.
His efforts to keep the Kings where they are.
Yeah.
And he's like a mayor of Sacramento.
Yeah, and I'm not going to tie this as with their record or anything, but I'm going to say that. But that's a positive step, because you lose a place like Sacramento loses a team like the Kings. It's not a good thing. No. Like it's like, you know, there's other. I don't even know the other sports in the Sacramento area. Do they have anything else distinct?
Not that I know of.
Nothing in baseball. Nothing in football. I don't know.
It's usually Oakland or Golden State or Bay Area, San Francisco.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else in the North. So it's a very positive kind of, you know, an economically beneficial thing for the community to retain that team.
Sure.
That's all I kind of wanted to comment on there. I do want to comment on the real possibility here in the last aspect of league activity, that an expansion to Seattle, it's been talked about and dished about time and time and time again. It seems like it's becoming much more likely.
Without diluting the NBA too much, an expansion is critical, but it should be two cities, not just one, to keep everything simple and have 16 teams per conference. I would say there would be like a reshuffling of conferences or divisions even, and probably like teams like Minnesota would go to the East or Memphis would go to the East.
And Memphis going to the East makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Memphis in the West does not make sense to me at all.
Yeah. And then New Orleans as well makes little sense. But you know, then there would be like a new division, like a Pacific Northwest division or something like that, which would be Seattle, Portland, maybe another team in Vancouver or something. Like get another.
So Vancouver is a real possibility. Well,
we had talked about this previously, like Vancouver, Vegas. Who knows, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know of another city really that could.
Yeah, not a lot of other stuff. Like Seattle obviously can handle a team, but I really don't know. Besides switching up existing markets,
I know.
I'm not seeing anything yet, so I don't think we need to speculate any further on kind of that front. But obviously, we're going to continue to watch this, because it would be so amazing, so amazing if there was NBA basketball in this city.
Yeah, it'd be great.
All right, so we're going to switch over to our next topic, and that's gameplay. So the preseason continues. I think
there's five games per team.
Five games per team, but they play kind of at different pacings right now.
Yeah, different paces. Like, Lakers have played all their games consecutively. They look pretty fun to watch, but I don't know. I think D'Angelo Russell is on another level right now in terms of his development.
Yeah.
Phoenix looks fun to watch. I think they've done all their games, and Devin Booker looks like just a Ray Allen clone.
He's my Zen moment. when he's shooting from the side, like, man, he just like
and Marquise Chris looks solid. Dragon Bender looks kind of like a dud. But anyways, Miami's looking really weak, actually. Teams that were probably expected to do pretty well in preseason just because they're going to play a lot of other guys. Exceeded expectations, such as Golden State, barely playing their starters and playing people like Patrick McCaw, a rookie who's out of nowhere, a second rounder, just like busting into the scene. Mm-hmm. Had a game winner against... I think they had a game...
I'm not sure who that was, but we can...
Yeah, sorry.
We can post to it.
It was about Portland.
It was Portland. Okay. So I want to talk one little bit about that before you move off the Golden State train. Steve Kerr today mentioned about possible experimentation kind of throughout the season around play and around players, just given the caliber of talent that they have. We talked about the Warriors kind of ad nauseum last week, but this quote kind of just came in.
Oh, sure.
Do you expect to see more experimentation and lineup switches and having people kind of play, even potentially maybe switch spots, or like maybe not spot switching, but like just here's your first team, here's your second team, here's your third team, and like just minute distribution, I guess.
So here's a funny little tidbit that I found just a couple days ago. 1997 or something, when Tim Duncan was introduced in the league, they had a starting lineup of Will Perdue, Tim Duncan, and David Robinson. That was their front court, or that was their front court.
Yeah.
So Tim Duncan was started at the three, and Phoenix had Jason Kidd, Steve Nash, Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
And they started all three of them. Mm-hmm. So it was like three guards and three bigs. It's like you have to use what you have and like optimize the best of talent and put the best five out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's gonna be experimentation because obviously they have the five best players, like probably bar none in the NBA, you know, like top down. Their roster looks really deep. But there's gonna be people that have to adjust to the Golden State Warriors, and by adjusting they might evolve, they might experiment, they might change up things where they have three guards, they might have three bigs, they might have some sort of like small ball style game. They might, you know, Phoenix might have five Kentucky point guards out there at one time, like, because they have five Kentucky point guards right now on their roster. So it's pretty hysterical. Like, you know, bless up John Calipari. So, you know, there's going to be experimentation, and the Warriors are a perfect nesting ground for that because they could play Kevin Durant at the five if they even want to, because they can get away with it because it's Kevin Durant on offense at the five. Like, good luck stopping it, Boban Marjanovic. You know? You know what I mean? How are you going to, like, you stop him with your hand and he can only get 5 feet, you know? Like, his hand is 5 feet, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, I mean, I'm on
board with it. I think that's true. I think what he's saying is echoed throughout the league. There's a lot of that.
There's just a lot of experimentation.
I mean, you're experimenting on Rajon Rondo and the Bulls. Like, is that going to work? You're experimenting with Derrick Rose on the Knicks. Is that going to work? I know, like, as players, not rotations, but as players. Like, you're experimenting on the process. You're experimenting on the people, the players, the gel of the team. You're experimenting wholeheartedly everywhere.
No, I agree. I think what was intended and what he had said in his message was more around rotation.
And less
around kind of player mix-up. Because I think that's just inevitable, the new state of the league, that the players will continue to change teams faster and faster and faster.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we're already kind of past that. So going back into other specific gameplay, are the Rockets done with their preseason?
I think most teams are. Okay. I think there's teams like the Wolves and Heat. But
the Wolves have another game tonight, right?
Against the Heat, yeah. I think we have two more games.
Okay. And then the Cavs didn't really fare well in the preseason. Whether it matters or not, this is...
Well, it matters because they have a bunch of unknowns on their team other than the core, which is like 6-7 deep. They don't really know who they have. You know, they lost a lot of players, so... Mm-hmm. It matters. They got, you know, a couple of random people like Jordan McRae, who's doing really well. It doesn't matter, I don't think, in the long scheme of things. I would say that... teams that are surprisingly bad have been like Orlando, and I don't know, man. I'm feeling like they're
going to be the bottom of the barrel this year,
which is so sad.
Yeah, I just don't think they have it in them. Not this year.
And OKC looks a little disrupted. Like,
as they should be.
I thought, you know, preseason is preseason, right? It's Westbrook in the regular season that we really care about, but. No. They just don't have a flow right now.
Yeah. The other team that has kind of had this disrupted flow, at least that I've seen, I've read about, is the Pistons. Pistons kind of like they're a little bit off track.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that? I think they can probably turn it around. They're just like it's just starting off.
The main reason is because Reggie Jackson's injured. They don't have a backup really. They need to look for one. So that's the main reason. They do look a little startled though.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee looks a little weird. Like, they don't have Chris Middleton, so that's a big part of their offense. But they have, like, Mike Beasley as a replacement. They have, you know, Michael Carter-Williams as the backup to Giannis. But Giannis is looking insane right now. And Thon Maker looks really good, too, as a rookie. Mm-hmm. But preseason. So it's, like, hard to really have a whole lot of weight on what we're seeing. But it's fun to talk about. It's 10 days away. These teams that we're talking about now loosely are going to be, like, in conversation in terms of what's happening in the league and... Man, yeah. Like, I don't know how I'm going to react to after opening day. I've never been more excited. I usually don't care because, you know, the Wolves are never on opening day. But I can't wait to see all of these games.
Cannot wait to just kind of just open up.
Yeah.
Open up and just see all the games and continue to follow it.
Yeah.
Just like at this addictive pacing that we're at right now.
Yeah, speaking of pace, Rockets. 4 seconds less offense. This is like, it's a thing. It's happening. Like, rebound? What rebound? It's already in the bucket. What just happened? So they're becoming the blur.
I don't know. I don't think I don't really have any other notes into the preseason. I don't think we should forecast much else because it's preseason ball. You just need to get out there. You need to play some games. Just need to kind of get your rhythm together, I guess, and get set for the regular season. The one other part of gameplay that I wanted to go outside of the NBA on is that the I believe it's the WNBA finals. The finals are actually going on. They're going between the LA Sparks and Minnesota Lynx. So LA Sparks are up 2-1 and just won a game in like overtime. So
yeah, this is actually we could talk about the WNBA for more than a couple minutes, I think.
Yeah.
But really quick, they changed the format of the playoff structure, so it's not just, you know, two best of threes and then the finals.
Yeah.
It's a best of one play-in series, then it's a best of one play-in series again, and then it's there's no format in terms of East or West. It's just the top teams.
Oh.
And so LA Sparks could have never been in the finals with the Minnesota Lynx,
yeah,
unless this playoff format changed.
Oh, okay.
And so now it's like the MVP of the league, I don't know her name, could not pronounce her name, but she's on the Sparks.
Okay.
Along with Candace Parker and other players that they have are now in the championship. And they only, and the Minnesota Lynx and the LA Sparks only had to play one series in the entire playoffs before the championship because they had two round byes. The play-in series didn't involve them. The next two play-in series didn't involve them.
Okay.
But then it was like the Liberty, the Dream, and whatever else. Okay. Chicago Sky and shit. But yeah, so then the Lynx crushed whoever they were facing, like 2-0, 3-0 in the series before. And then in the finals, they're finding themselves in quite a hole. It's a best of five, I think. So what, lose or go home, which has been kind of a rarity for the Minnesota Lynx. They've been like the biggest thing Minnesota's ever had and produced as a sports franchise.
Professional sports franchise. So.
Well, I mean, hooray women.
We'll we'll revisit kind of next week and see how it all ended up. So
yeah, I hope there's a comeback.
Definitely hope for that as well.
Maya Moore is actually ridiculously fun to watch. I don't know if you've seen anything in WNBA related.
No,
you should watch a little bit of it.
I do need to watch a little bit of it.
I don't think I need to.
I do.
You should just watch.
And I wanted to go to a Seattle Storm game. It just never.
Cheap.
And I was never able to just find it. It was like $25 for four rows up off the court or something like that. Yeah. It was ridiculously cheap. And I was like, I want to go see this. I just haven't. I haven't made enough of an effort to go do it yet. So, but I will, and I, will continue to root for the Lynx all Minnesota sports.
It's crazy because
except the Twins.
This is kind of how sports should go. Like the best of the draft class gets drafted by the worst team.
Yeah,
Seattle Storm was the worst team. Like three, four wins in like the entire series season.
Wow,
they drafted this Breanna Stewart, and they were a playoff team.
That's amazing.
I mean, and that's common because deals don't happen in the WNBA at all because the salaries are all really, really equalized.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have like a Mike Conley, J.R. Smith kind of contract.
No, definitely not.
You have, whatever. But I don't know. I'm just really, it's kind of exciting time to be a Minnesota sports fan. And that's why I'm kind of been rooting and following the Lynx a little bit more.
Yeah.
All right. This is enough. Topic on
no. I think it's something we need to explore, and I'd like to explore the WNBA more in depth and kind of like go into the structure of the league, talk about the teams, but can't do it today.
Not this.
So let's move on a little bit of player activity. So I don't have too many points on this. I think the big event for this last week, and this just happened, I believe, yesterday.
Yes,
was J.R. Smith got signed to a 4-year, $57 million extension in Cleveland. Obviously, LeBron helped.
LeBron's thumbs are fucking magic thumbs, man. He tweets it out, get it done, and gets it done.
Get it done, otherwise I'm going to be mad. You don't want me mad.
You don't. What is LeBron like when he's mad? He just loses more hair. Dude, check this out. This is a stat. This is a fact. Fact-checked stat. The Cleveland Cavaliers starting lineup consists of over $100 million.
Wow.
And that's over the cap already.
Yeah.
And that's more than 18 teams in the NBA, including the Golden State Warriors, the starting five of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
So that, just
Kyrie Irving, J.R. Smith, LeBron James, Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love.
Man, that's a lot of money on one.
$100 million.
That's so much money.
I want like $1, please. Just give me $1.
Just $1.
But honestly, five players
versus
18 teams' full rosters, including.
Full rosters,
Full rosters.
Wow.
Dude, the cap is at $93 million, so they're already over the cap when they're starting five.
But I mean, they're the biggest team. They can basically play any of their games on national TV or and just broker any deals that they want. So
they're one of the biggest teams. I would say also that they get to experience the repeater tax now. So good luck, Cleveland. Like that's a hefty tax to be over the tax, over the bracket.
Is it the repeater? This is the luxury tax, right?
The luxury tax.
Luxury tax, yeah. But let's get into taxes and that crap another day.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, a little bit lighter on the player activity front. I read this story and I was cracking up. So Russell Westbrook and Marc Gasol have a history of like feuding with each other.
Why?
I have no idea. He's like, I think Westbrook is like, he just like punched me. So I just like punched him back. And like it's so dumb. I was like reading about the sequence of events and just all these double fouls. Like they just hate each other. But like, how are Westbrook and Marc Gasol like hated enemies? Like it makes absolutely no sense to me.
I don't know. It's just storylines. a little sad news though with Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Again, right? Like
yeah.
It's like Anthony injured Davis. Or Anthony.
I'm putting
Anthony DNP.
Oh gosh. I'm putting like a hospital sticker on my Anthony
they
Davis.
They should be
jersey.
Sponsored by, you know, like ankle bracelets
like
or something.
A minute clinic or
minute
something. Just get him healthy fast. So
yeah.
Oh
get
man.
Him high.
I don't know. Any other player activity from your front? I don't know. It's really light. There I don't see a lot of like super storylines without getting into the teams themselves at this point.
One little thing, Dwayne Wade went on record. I think LeBron also said this, like Dwayne almost went to Chicago in 2000 before, you know, LeBron went to the Miami in the decision.
Yeah.
He almost went to Chicago
with
the Baby Bulls. That would have been pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And to go home. I think he's always wanted to go to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Or to Chicago. And then also LeBron went on record saying in the offseason, Wade and LeBron did talk about joining in Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
But they couldn't get him because the money was going to be too low.
No.
It was going to be J.R. Smith money.
Oh, come on.
And he's worth a couple J.R. Smiths. So.
Just a couple J.R. Smiths. So. All right, so let's go into a little bit lighter news. I actually don't want to go into the first thing. I want to go into the second thing, though, because this is pretty interesting for the league. This is I found out this morning that they've now opened up the NBA League Pass to everyone in China.
Hell yeah.
So I'm just like, we could now have like just a crazy amount of people watching those games live.
Yeah, I've had conversations with people in China about they use VPNs.
Yeah.
Because they have an international league pass as well as a league pass.
Yeah.
And the international one is super expensive, but you get all access to all teams. You're never like blacked out.
Yeah.
Because we're blacked out of Portland games for whatever reason.
I hate
it's so
that.
Stupid. Anyways, so they would use VPNs for international league pass. And then you could, as a fan of the team that you're supporting, you could also buy VPNs and then use an international league pass to watch your home team if you really needed to. They don't have to do that anymore. There's no roundabout thing. And I love it because China is such a, you know, there's such a presence of the NBA in China. Not in the NBA in the U.S., but people in the NBA, affiliated with the NBA in China. So I love that bridge. I love that connection, and make this the global thing. Make this why society is so amazing.
Yeah.
Like, the world is great. The people are amazing.
Yeah, just, like, expand it. Allow basketball to bridge these gaps and to bridge these differences.
How beautiful is that, man?
No, it's amazing. I want to touch on one other lighter news before you get into your stories. I read this, and I was cracking up. I think I sent it to you on Facebook immediately after I read it. And I was reading a story about how Luke Walton – when he's playing with the Lakers, showed up one morning to practice, and he was like hungover, and like Kobe Bryant, like the other veterans, had smelled like alcohol on Luke Walton's breath, and he's like, and Kobe has like this history of just not letting up on anyone ever, so Kobe took it upon himself to make like Luke Walton guard him that practice.
Oh sure,
and I think they were saying
73 points.
Yeah, okay, 73 points that Kobe dropped in that practice. He was just like, he did not let up at all. Like, don't show up. Don't half-ass it. Not around Black Mamba. No way. So I was cracking up so hard in thinking about Luke Walton getting schooled that badly.
Speaking of cracking up and getting schooled, Joel Embiid is kind of finding himself always in the news every week. For whatever reason, Philadelphia Sixers have been known as the process, right? Trust the process.
Yeah.
Sam Hinkie was like, there's a process. There's a three-year process. So everyone was like, let's trust this process.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid has dubbed himself the process.
that can and will be used against you in the court of public opinion, Joel Embiid.
I love him, man. Oh, I think he's such a character. And he's an immediate follow. Anyone listening to me?
Yeah.
Us.
Yes.
Instant follow him on Instagram or Twitter. Or whatever. Yeah. He's hysterical. He's the best thing, man.
All right.
Some lighter news, but it's kind of like sad, depressing news, is Tim Hardaway, the coach, got suspended for a few games for a DWI.
However, I was not really going to talk about it because I don't really want to promote all that crappy behavior. However, I think it's right of the league. This is not an appropriate thing. You get a suspension, go and resolve your issue, come back, and just kind of go about your business. But, yeah, that's not positive at all.
Yeah. That's it.
That really wasn't very light news on the.
Well, you can just
cut on the hard. No, it's fine. I'll keep it in there. Okay, so I want to move to the last section of This Week in Basketball, and it's Did He Say That? So I'm going to start out with a quote here. I feel really grateful to play for a team like that and play with a bunch of players who are selfless and enjoy the game in its purest form. This is what Kevin Durant said, and the reporters were reading around Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
I just imagine Russell Westbrook is just fuming right now.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure he said enough in a recorder, like to a reporter. He keeps asking these Kevin Durant questions, and it's like he's like, "Enough, I'm done. There's no beef. Get over it."
Yeah,
and it's gonna just be a constant storyline to both.
Yeah, it's
players.
It's just stupid. It's stupid. I don't. Yeah, but I did want to read that because it really just set him off. And if you watch the interview, you can see how visibly ticked off he was.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, and here's our next quote. I'm an old school guy. I'm a competitor. I never believe that when you want to be the best, you've got to beat the best. There's always been something that's driven me. Today's day and age, a lot of these guys are friends. Right. That's like if Bird decided to go play with Magic or something. These guys, I think the competition makes the game what it is. So Paul Pierce said this. He was a little bit, I think he's perturbed just in terms of like
Kevin Durant.
Durant going to Golden State. I think he's right in terms of what basketball was. You never experience a situation when Larry Bird would have gone and played with his fiercest competition.
Right.
Like that was just a different age, different era. I think it's just it is a different sport, but. Or it's a different era. It's not a different sport. Simply a different era with this ability to like combine these friendships and personal rivalries in a much, much different manner.
Right. Well, I mean, there's also some weird things like to be the best. He was chasing championships with Brooklyn, with LA. Like he's chasing championships. You know, he's trying to beat the best, but he's being on a really good team to do that. There's a thing about loyalty, right? Like being with the same team over and over. And if you just get dried out by, you know, the monotonous of not succeeding, you need to change things up. Good on Kevin Durant, man. Honestly, good on Kevin Durant for leaving to go to Golden State.
Yeah.
But it was...
No, but I think the opinion's still fair of Paul Pierce to say that. I think he's right in terms of what happened before.
Yeah.
But... it's just different, and I don't think that arguing this makes any like
no it doesn't
it doesn't really do anything
it doesn't do anything I'm pretty sure Draymond Green shut Pierce up too like immediately following he did some like gram like hey yo Pierce here's my knee
all right so I have one more quote on here
sweet
so this one's from LeBron James so we got a bunch of guys that are in there that know the negotiations. So any way to give back and try to help our former teammates and help former players and things of that nature, James said, because we've all built this league together. No matter how big of a guy you were or if you were the 15th guy on the bench, we all built this league into what it is today. But it's not just my idea. I'm not taking any credit for that, but it's all part of the process and not the 76ers process.
Uh-huh.
But I think that kind of, going back to one of our first stories here, that it just speaks to the nature of how today's, or at least some of today's current players, probably current player leaders, just respect the past, respect kind of the legacy of basketball. And I think that's so awesome. So I don't think there's that much to say on it, but I think once it's solidified, just leaves basketball in such a great state that hopefully other sports model.
Yeah, for sure. And following that, in a little bit of lighter news in what LeBron is all about, LeBron tweeted out, yo, at NBA Game Time app, or League Pass app, fix your stuff. I can't see the box scores. Like 24 hours later, NBA, or like not even 24 hours later, like 5 hours later, NBA response, we on it. And then 24 hours later, we fixed it. So like LeBron is like God.
you just need LeBron
to fix social issues.
I need LeBron in my software dev process.
Yeah.
Fix this issue. LeBron out.
Out.
Like That's so awesome. Yeah. So, all right. So that's going to wrap up this week in basketball.
We are back. Hey, what's good, fellas?
Oh, man. What an answer.
The only answer to this question, not even the correct one, the only one, is Russell Westbrook.
Interesting.
Russell Westbrook. I'm doing my Harlem Globetrotter shit around my body, spinning on my finger right now. The second candidate is
a grand
All right, all right. We are back. We are back with a three-man weave. This is week two of the three-man weave. I'm Hondo, here with Guy, here with Mark.
We weave
it. MTG. Oh, man, in the building. We have only 10 days till the NBA season. So, oh, man. But we got to get our takes in before it gets started. So we're gonna kind of go around the horn. We got topics across the board today.
Chess pass.
Where are we starting?
What comes first? James Harden shaves his beard. Ben Simmons plays the season. DeMarcus Cousins gets traded. Or, back to the shaving, LeBron shaves his head.
I mean, so the way I see it, it's got to be, I mean, Ben Simmons is not going to play this year. LeBron definitely not going to shave his head. That dude is too attached to his hairline. I think James Harden is going to catch a mean elbow from somebody, and he's going to have to get stitches, so he's going to have to, like, take a chunk out the beard, and he's going to go all the way down. You know what I'm saying? Just like, I mean, it's going to be a travesty. I mean, it's, you know, basically, it's up there with the logo, you know what I'm saying? You recognize the logo, James Harden's beard, LeBron's hairline, like, there's just, it's the triumvirate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. You can't, I can't go Simmons. I'm going to go a different direction. You think LeBron wants to keep his hairline?
Have you seen that man's headband? I mean, have you seen, like, the man has, like, not even only just for men, like, the dude has used every product known to mankind to try and keep that hairline.
every headband known to man.
I mean, it just grows in thickness every year.
I just don't see, I do not see Harden shaving off that beard.
Yeah.
I'm going with LeBron, even if it goes against consensus.
I'm going to go with DeMarcus Cousins gets traded. And LeBron doesn't even have a headband anymore. He, like, threw it out in disgust that he has stopped wearing it. Probably for hormone reasons.
I love
it. Got to keep his gel in, you know?
Boom. All right, next up, here we go. Which playoff team is one injury away from blowing it up? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a depth question. This is just like whose identity is crushed as soon as they get one tiny injury.
All right. You want to start us off?
All right.
Good.
I got the Toronto Raptors. There's a little bit too much love up in Toronto last season. You know what I'm saying? They're all giddy. They're all excited about being, you know, super high seed, XYZ. Now they don't have the Biombo story to keep them all, you know, buddy-buddy. You know what I'm saying? I think they're one, like, DeRozan injury from Kyle Lowry just ending up on a milk carton again, just MIA, just not showing up. You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
Just they got a really smart general manager who I don't think is just going to sit on the sideline if all of a sudden, like, let's say Atlanta actually plays good. Let's say Boston makes the leap. Detroit makes the leap. All of a sudden, you know, just one tiny ankle twerk, and then boom, it's a wrap for Toronto.
Okay, I'm going to go a little bit different direction. I'm saying, especially if Harden gets knocked out, that Houston is out of contention. I do not think without Harden as the leader, they can trudge forward.
So, funny question though is how do they blow it up? Even if he gets hardened, or even if Harden gets hardened, how do they blow it up? They have like no movable pieces.
Plus, here's what's there about D'Antoni's offense. Like, he can throw in anybody at that point guard. You know what I'm saying? They're just running up and down the court. They don't even have their eyes open. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is just a track meet. Yeah, James Harden's going to put the ball in the basket, but you don't need, like, the most sophisticated point guard to run a D'Antoni system. 7 seconds or less? Like, doesn't take rocket science. Let's be clear.
I have two answers, and I'm kind of tossing this as I'm talking it out loud. I don't know which one I'm going to pick. Los Angeles Clippers or Memphis Grizzlies. Mm. So I think Memphis Grizzlies is one injury away from completely blowing it up, even after a max player, Mike Conley, you know, or Marc Gasol. If he gets injured, I don't think they have a team, you know?
I mean, but Chandler Parsons is already injured, so are they already out? You know what I'm saying?
I don't, like, who's that? Like,
Marc Gasol will get hurt because he's going to get hurt from a nice right fist from Russell Westbrook.
From Russell Westbrook.
Man.
So and then with Clippers, it's like it seems like it's inevitable. If Paul goes down, and he's my target this year in terms of who gets injured on this team if they get injured, Chris Paul.
You think so?
I don't know. That's why it's called the three-man weave. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, look, I was looking for just like a little more explanation, but no. We're good.
I don't know.
Okay.
So. Bonus three-man weave question. This is going to be for a reverse layup on the end here. Who would be the best UFC fighter of all the NBA players?
Oh,
cool.
I mean, I think we've had this discussion. We've had this discussion off air.
Mm.
I think Russell Westbrook's athleticism lends him to being one of the best fighters in the NBA.
Okay. Fair. What you got, G?
I got two names, but the first one is going to be more of a star player. The second one is a rookie. So the first one is Jimmy Butler.
Mm.
He got his hair game, you know. He's just like going to mess with people's minds.
It's the toughness, huh? He's toughness. Just look at it.
And just the work. And just like if you... like remade him into a caricature, he could fit right into Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. So.
No, that's fair. I mean, you know, like you said, we did talk about this off air, and I just think Russell Westbrook is too competitive. You know what I'm saying? He's so athletic, so explosive that like you would hit that dude in the face and it would just make him fight better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I'm totally on the Russell Westbrook bandwagon as just like he could have the belt at like 185. He could just
as a Street Fighter though, let me say that I believe that James Harden could have a special maneuver just to beat everybody.
Oh, just to fall down? Can't breathe on?
Yo, you don't take charges in the streets. They're not going to call that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
All right. Here's my question. Most likely, as we lead up to the election, most likely to run for political office.
Whoa.
I mean, damn.
Carmelo.
Oh, come on. Mm. All right.
That's a terrible answer. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
It's got to be someone white.
You know what? I'm going to say, you know, going back to what we were discussing earlier, Chandler Parsons. That man can convince anyone to come anywhere in free agency. Like what the hell? You know what I'm saying? That man almost had DeAndre Jordan in Dallas. You know what I'm saying? He's been like trying to get people to go over to. I mean, he's got connections all over the league now with all the teams that he's played for. You know, people are talking about his Instagram. Like, look, he's always got models and all kinds of stuff. Like, that dude is just persuasive, apparently. I mean, he signed his contract with Dallas in the club. You know what I'm saying? Like, we saw the pictures with him and Cuban. You know, like what? Like, this man is just like the broad breadth of what got going on and like where he can operate. I just think, you know, it's politician style. All
right. So I have two potential choices. Okay. Here's my outside pick. The Greek Freak. He just goes back.
Freak.
He goes back and he's already been.
Oh,
in the,
I like it.
He's already been in the military. Yeah. He's a respected player and he could just kind of take whatever political office that he wants in Greece as
that's
they
funny.
Have no political structure.
Yes.
However, a more serious pick, I would have potentially leaned to Carmelo. However, I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to go to Chris Paul because he's actually made some great strides as part of the NBA Players Association.
Sure.
And I think he could potentially go into political office.
He's got to be like the Frank Underwood, though, of the NBA. Nobody likes that dude. Somehow he's the NBA players rep and all XYZ, but everybody hates him. He's dirty as hell. The man sitting
he's
there.
He's a flopicopter, man.
I mean, he elbows Steph Curry in the nuts every time he sees him, whether it's in game or not.
He shoves DeMarcus Cousins and he falls down and complains to the refs.
It's incredible. So, yeah, you're right. He might. I mean, he's been able to get away with that for however many years in the league. Maybe he is the best politician.
All right. So my next question as a follow-up, or not as a follow-up to that, just next question is most likely to retire due to an injury early.
Like this season?
This season.
Man. Like.
Dirk Nowitzki.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. That man could break his whole entire leg in like the first 5 minutes of a game and just be out, just be done.
And he'd be like, I'm retired because Hondo asked me this question. I got to fulfill the Ride in the Pine dreams.
Here we go. Nene.
Nene is a
he
good one.
He gets injured every season, so at what point does he just not use it as an excuse
to get
out
the game? And
he's
on a team
that
like is just running gun with Houston. I think they're right, man.
I'm just saying he's going to run up on the court one time and just catch a stray fruit fly to the forehead.
I like that you're calling out Nene. Doesn't get enough call-outs on this show.
What's that dude ever been
healthy? We'll kind of bring him back in. I honestly think Anthony Davis is one heart injury away from permanent retirement.
Wow.
What? Dude.
That's crazy.
He's just, he's accident prone, man.
That hot take is lava. Like, nobody's trying to touch that.
Fine. I don't want to win this. I have an Anthony Davis jersey in my closet. I do not want to win this.
I was thinking like Brooke Lopez or something would have been a good answer too.
Mm, I'm not mad at that. I think if we're going young players, I think you got to go like Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
That dude's played like 20 games a season.
Yeah.
Every year.
Okay,
I got a question for you guys. Who will be an all-star this season that has not been an all-star so far?
Ooh.
I mean, I think this answer's pretty easy. Hello, Minnesota? Anyone? Minnesota, do y'all follow the Timberwolves? Yeah. Y'all know anything about them? Y'all heard of this team?
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Just go with it.
I mean,
Big man, Cat.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no question that he's going to make the leap, even if it's just defensively, right? He's going to get so much hype, you know what I'm saying, from the Ringer and from every, you know, Zach Lowe's going to talk about his defensive efficiency rating and shit like that. So even if his offensive numbers don't hit the stride that they're going to, he's just going to be so blown up by everybody in the NBA on the defensive side. Guaranteed, lock, all-star, write it down. Put it in your IRA. Send your kids to college.
So are we talking starters or just talking on the All-Star team?
On the All-Star team. The starter would be a cool question. I'm sorry I didn't phrase it that way.
All right. So has Gordon Hayward been a...
You took my pick.
Has he been an All-Star?
No.
Prior? I'm going with him then.
Talk about a politician face.
He's he's got that groove on his hair. Man.
I mean, he just looks like every other white politician you ever seen in your life. Like, he just slide right in. That man could just walk into the Congress, and everybody would just be like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Here's
my
seat,
vote."
Sir.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go with Mike Conley.
Ooh.
Finally, he breaks through. He's never been an all-star.
He just that's crazy. Is he just gonna buy his way in or what?
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I didn't phrase how.
Yeah, corruption's totally viable.
Totally part of this
viable path. I don't know. See, this thing he's got paid so much. I feel like in the minds of sports writers and fans and stuff, he's gonna be like seem overrated. So can he perform at the level of the contract he just got?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know.
We'll see. All right. So. We're just going to go around predictions on who wins the WNBA as of right now. So it's LA Sparks are up 2-1 on the Lynx.
Lisa Leslie.
Rebecca Lobo.
Cheryl Swoops.
Who wins in terms of team, not in terms of players?
We all do. We all win. All
right. Everybody's
Cheryl Miller.
Women. Cheryl Miller.
Look, WNBA, you know, my WNBA fandom days go back to the, like, start of the league. You know what I'm saying? I could, like, rattle off players for days. You're trying to ask me who's in the league now or who's even in the finals.
I'll go with the Lynx because Minnesota roots. What kind of question is this?
Who does the Sparks even have? They have Brittany Griner? Or they have? Don't they have?
They have Candace Parker.
That's what I was gonna say. Her name from Tennessee, who dunked that one time.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to the links and vetoing this question
we,
and further.
I was gonna say, can we just edit that question so it just says so it's just him saying WNBA and we're just like saying names and like random things and we're just like WNBA three man weave WNBA.
It'll be part of our remix.
Yeah, that'd be so funny. Here's the thing. Recently in the news, we've had Sacramento, we've had Philadelphia coming up with brand sponsorships, you know what I'm saying, getting ready for that 2017-2018 drop. Who has the best opportunity? Like, what's the best opportunity for a team sponsor, you know, synergy? Like, what just makes sense? You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the Almonds with Sacramento, like, that doesn't make no damn sense.
No.
Like,
no.
StubHub for Philadelphia, ain't nobody... I mean, I guess that won't make sense because everybody who lives and has tickets in Philadelphia is putting their tickets on StubHub.
Yeah.
Like, I guess there's something there.
That makes sense.
Who's got the best?
All right. I'm going to go with my first choice, and that's the... The Brooklyn Nets would have great synergy with waste management.
You're thinking like mob ties. You're just thinking like style ties, of basketball.
New Jersey ties, just terrible team.
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
Throw it all away.
You can take the team out of New Jersey, but you can't take the waste management out of basketball. All right.
I'm going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks and Miller Lite.
Ooh, all right. Just because like
all the life, man.
All the fans are just drunk, or just like they play like you know Jason Kidd is just constantly
an alcoholic. Okay. Everything you want to say.
It. I mean, I can't say that legally, but like I heard allegedly.
sources can confirm.
Yeah, anonymous sources. All right, I gotta go with Detroit Pistons.
Oh yeah,
sponsored by Brita water filters.
Brita water filters.
I'm just saying, like, it's just a lot of opportunity there. There's a real need in the community.
Oh, my God.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, man.
All right.
I think that wraps up the three-man weave for this.
I got.
Always.
Lakers. Lakers, sponsored by Kobe International.
Ooh.
His new business.
He's just going to take it over. It was a long con. He's just going to take it over from the Buss family. Going to buy it. Start off with the sponsorship. Right. I like that. Here's where Sacramento should have gone. Sacramento should have reached out, you know what I'm saying, a little bit outside the box. You know, they got some international connections, a lot of divas. Thailand recently. Just got a new king. He's kind of like a playboy, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't really have the respect and you know political stature of his father. Sure, and I just, why not have Sacramento Kings be sponsored by the new king of Thailand?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Just have
the
some
country.
That's what I'm saying.
Have their flag.
That's it. I mean, it just seems like it would be, you know, everybody wants to go for all these, you know, little American businesses. Just step out, go international with it.
Dude, New Orleans Pelicans are going to be sponsored by the NBA.
Extra NBA logo on that, just two of them.
That's hilarious. Two rows. Oh my goodness. I don't have any.
We could say some serious ones, but no.
We ain't about that life. There's no point in doing
not even
that.
Interesting.
No. Toronto Raptors sponsored by Jeff Goldblum Enterprises.
Ooh, I love it. With a dinosaur tie-in. Yes. That's what's up. Yeah. I love it. We got to play that. There's a Jeff. Remember that Jeff Goldblum? So there's a like just somebody made a beat and they just spliced in a bunch of quotes from Jeff Goldblum and they just like sampled his voice and it's crazy. I used to go around the office playing it for everybody. We got to play that at the end of the show.
Chris almost murdered him for playing that so much. It's unbelievable.
That's too funny. I don't know. I don't think
Boston could be sponsored by Cheers
or by Racist Everywhere.
By Racist Everywhere.
Really?
Look, there's the all racist division, and it's got to be Dallas, Oklahoma City, and Boston. Like, that's like just rearrange the conferences. Nothing matters. Just like white people love those three teams.
Sure.
Let's just be clear.
Oh, man.
Chicago Bulls could be sponsored by Pizza Duo, right? The Duo Pizza.
Oh, I don't even know that.
Damn it. Cut it out. Edit it out.
Edit.
I will do that.
You will do the editing for that one.
Yeah, I don't even know.
Deep dish pizza. Pizza Duo.
Chicago.
Pizza Duo is like massive.
You can't just say it more and expect us
duo,
to know
duo, duo. Duo. Oh, yeah. No, that's a great one.
Okay, staying in. I want more people to know about Pizza Duo.
I mean, are we being sponsored by Pizza Duo? I just didn't know it.
Didn't you know?
I mean, I saw like the pizza crumbs everywhere, and you just like slovenly sauce all over your face. I'm just like, I didn't know that was a sponsorship.
Pizza Duo, since 1957, serving multiple pizzas.
I mean, was Pizza Uno already taken? And they were just like,
that's correct.
Pizza Duo.
That's it. That's the reason why.
This is just horseshit pizza advertising right here.
I heard that's a flavor at Pizza Duo. Horseshit. That's like a specialty. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know anything about them.
Disgusting. All right. So that wraps up the three man weave for this week. Next week, three man weave is going to take on some predictions.
No,
crazy predictions.
I'm not done.
No,
Minnesota Timberwolves. 3M for the wall posters. Going to put everyone on posters.
Woo!
He called it out. He called it.
Drop the headphones.
Mic drop. Headphone drop.
What so more much, can I say?
So much editing in this last part, but we'll just, you know, we got it. He's back. Dude, you had like nine lives on this.
We back. Freddie ain't dead.
all right, we out.
Newness on the internet is all about that novelty. Not novelty. Newness on the internet is all about that novelty. It's Seattle Connection. The Ancast Networks.
All right, we are back. We are back with the third part of our comparison series. All right, so we know definitively now. We looked at the Warriors. We looked at OKC. We looked at the Bulls. We looked at the Knicks. We're going to expand on that this week, and we're going to go into the Celtics and the Pacers. So we did have a couple of potential other teams, but we're going to kind of delve into those teams as the season begins.
Right.
Because our prediction episode lies ahead, and that is probably my favorite episode of the entire year.
Can't miss, won't miss.
Can't miss, won't miss. Rockefeller Remix. Get down. All right, so you know, let's kick it off. I think we're gonna start today's episode by looking at Boston.
Sure,
Boston is kind of interesting is the first word that kind of comes to mind for Boston. So
look at the roster really quick. Like,
yeah,
what?
It's a bit confusing. So let's just kind of go through. I don't want to kind of talk about everybody, but let's kind of go through who I think these are. Some of
the projected starters.
So we have Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder. We have Al Horford, Amir Johnson, Isaiah Thomas. Are there kind of any other names that you put in that maybe first rung?
Oh yeah, I would say Kelly Olynyk. I'd say Marcus Smart.
Okay,
and I'd say
Gerald Green,
and Jaylen Brown are probably going to be the 10.
Okay. Okay.
9 or 10, and I would say Jonas Jerebko as well. So 9 or 10 people there.
Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. So, like, I don't really know what to think. You know, I'm looking at this team and kind of researching this team today and over the last couple of days, and like, I'm so varied on what this team is. Yeah. Like, because this team, if they're playing together, like this team could be incredible.
Right.
Or this team could be a huge letdown because some sort of chemistry issue comes up.
Yeah.
And they don't kind of showcase it. And we'll get into that a little bit further. So let's talk a little bit about kind of new additions. So if you want to talk about a team with new additions, you have to start with like
the draft.
Well, you have to start with the draft and you have to start with Boston. Like Boston had so many additional adds this year.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, so you have Jaylen Brown.
And Ben Mintel.
Yeah, and Ben Mintel. Then you, they also added Gerald Green and
Al Horford.
Yeah, they added Al Horford. I don't know why I don't have Horford on my list. Demetrius Jackson was an additional add as well.
Oh, right? Okay.
But yeah, just a lot of different adds. You know, for a 15-player roster, that is.
They look like they're 20 deep.
Yeah, there's just so many kind of different people, so that they have to integrate into this new mix.
Yeah.
However, they have some players. They definitely have some players. So I am, you know, kind of starting with the analysis on this. I am not concerned that they can win games.
Oh, neither am I.
Like there are some people that can play here, and I think it starts. I don't. It's hard to say, kind of
where you
want it to start. It kind of starts based upon your own perception here. But either you have to start with Isaiah Thomas or Al Horford, like that. I mean, which it's whatever choice you want to make.
5'8" or 7'8". You know, like yeah, exactly. So Al Horford, I think, is going to be the new leader of this team. I think Isaiah Thomas has obviously been the all-star of this team. The what makes the team so exciting, but it's all through Al Horford, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's recreated this team just by being on it. They didn't lack any big production. They had, you know, Amir Johnson and Kelly Olynyk and other things like that. But they've gained a star now. They have a star to go with their star. Borderline superstar.
Yeah.
In Al Horford.
So who's the actual captain this team? Is it?
Yeah, I think that's going to be part of the keys to this team is finding out who that is as fans as well as a team.
Sure.
But, you know, looking at projected starters, Isaiah Thomas is going to be scoring the bulk of the points. Avery Bradley is going to be defending most of the time.
Yeah.
Jay Crowder is kind of like a LeBron light in terms of he scores when he can, but he's really just more defensively oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Amir Johnson is defensive oriented. Mm-hmm. And Al Horford is defensive oriented. So in terms of points, they can score points, but it's more they are so locked down on defense.
Yeah.
That it's going to be such a fun team to watch, but it's going to be all through Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
For that fact alone, I think he's the leader of the team.
I think he's the leader of the team, and I think from a projected stats leader perspective, I don't think Horford can rival him in points. I think he's going to put up the most points just based upon kind of the role that he has. Horford is going to be a close second, but Thomas still kind of leads that team category.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I think from a rebound perspective, I'm going with Amir Johnson. Do you have other thoughts?
No. I think that was like the best pickup they could have ever had last year when they traded for him. I was so happy with that move. Boston was a third seed.
Yeah.
With scrubs.
Yeah.
Guys like us. You know what I'm saying?
And sorry to Boston fans. Everywhere.
Sorry.
Like
they really had scrubs, man. And now they're just so much deeper with a solidified rotation of bigs with Olynyk, Horford and Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for them on that.
You know, if you look at kind of the bench, if you look outside of the starters, I'm not worried about players like Marcus Smart.
No.
Like, I've watched Kelly Olynyk play last year.
He's awesome.
Like, I've watched Gerald Green play before. I'm optimistic about what Brown can do. Like, these guys, like, I don't know, man. Like, if they get it together, if they stay healthy, but we need to get into that in the keys of the game. So continuing down on the projected stats leader arena. So points, rebounds, assists. I think assist goes to Thomas. I don't know if there's anybody.
I can't
close.
Dispute that because he's the biggest playmaker. The only other potential is Al Horford, but I don't think that's in his game.
Not
when he gets the ball, I don't think he's asked to pass.
Not an assist. Now, I think from a minutes perspective, I was looking at early stats and like it might be Thomas. But I think this one is a toss-up. Like, it could be Horford. It definitely could be Horford. But your thoughts on minutes?
No, I agree with you. I think Thomas, in order for this team to be, like, echelon caliber contenders, you know, mm-hmm. I think it's all on Thomas playing 38, 40 minutes a game.
Yeah.
They don't really have a great backup point guard. They have Marcus Smart that can lead, but he's not really a point guard.
Yeah.
You know, they have Avery Bradley that could kind of spell minutes, but he's not really a point guard. No. Terry Rozier, as great as he kind of looks, he's scrawny, he's skinny, he's not going to bulk up. He looks kind of awful for this team.
Yeah.
So
getting into steals, I have to go with Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder was amazing last year and one of the stats leaders. I saw him many, many times throughout the season as a steal stats leader. So
I love this player. I think he's like such a sleeper pick for a lot of teams.
Yeah.
And I'm so sad. I'm so, so sad that Dallas gave up on him for Rondo. Like, Dallas was one of the best offensive teams. I'm sorry I'm talking about Dallas right now, but with Jake Crowder in the lineup, he was such a young prodigy.
Yeah.
And now he's on Boston. He's reaping the rewards. Dallas lost hard.
Yeah.
And anyways.
No, but he's...
He's so good. He's like...
And defensively. Defensively.
He doesn't have to do anything. He's just so bulk ready to defend anyone.
You just have to respect his game. So yeah. I think he's a leader in steals. From blocks, I just go back to the bigs. Go back to Amir Johnson. I don't think there's any other way I can go with that pick.
No, Al Horford has never been amazing at blocks.
Yeah.
Because he's also kind of like 6'11". He's kind of playing unnaturally at the 5, even though he's a 4. And Amir Johnson's a paint player. He's a post player. He's a post defender.
Yeah,
and he's always going to be helping, you know, the rotations.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be getting all the blocks. You're 100% right on that.
Yeah. All right, so let's go into kind of some of the keys for Boston moving forward. One, I think that if Al Horford can show some leadership, just help to solidify the leadership component around that. There's a lot of good players, but it's just like if they either go around him or Thomas, but he's like. He respects whichever decision, whichever route they go. Like, he can be a uniter for this team.
So, oh, dude, hands down, because he's going to be the role of the veteran. He's like the Papa Horford, you know? Like, everyone's looking up to him literally as well as, like, age-wise, too.
Mm-hmm.
He has the experience. He has the playoff knowledge. And, you know, he's grown up. Like, everyone's watched him play, so they know his game. And he grew up in a successful college atmosphere where these players are all from. and they just get to learn from, you know, his experience in the NBA.
Yeah.
How to conduct themselves as young stars.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Isaiah Thomas might necessarily have the voice for that, you know?
Yeah.
I think Al Horford does.
Cool. So another key, going back to your point, this team was third in the East with a much, much different team.
Yeah.
So this team already has shown that they can win games. So their keys are just to kind of continue to build on that success.
Trust in President Stevens and trust in your own course. Like, I think they're so defensively ready. They're the biggest doghouse in the NBA in terms of just being a defensive team.
Yeah.
They're like the new Memphis Grindhouse, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a must-watch team, I think, honestly.
Sure. My third key is just around bench play. And I alluded to this a little bit earlier, but turns out they can go deeper. They can go deeper at some aspects. I think they can definitely go deeper on the forward positions. However, they are a little bit lighter on some of the guard positions, especially the point guard, shooting guard aspects. But, I mean, everywhere else they can go. They're going full rotation. They can go into four different 12 rotations.
12 deep, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they have a lot of plug-and-play players, but no one that can take over games outside of Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford. And
yeah.
You know, one thing that I might look at is, let's see how Jaylen Brown, you know, acts in this third guard off the bench, you know?
Yeah. All right, so we're just going to take a quick break. Okay. Can we play this? No, we can't play it. All right, so let's just continue. You'll just have to edit from.
That's fine.
Okay. Wherever you are. Do you know exactly where we...
Yeah.
Okay.
We were talking about the team can win games.
Okay. Yeah. No, it's...
Get your head right.
No, my head is right. My head is right. So
face the screen.
My head is right. I'm facing the screen. We are ready to go. We're ready to go. The team can win games, as we alluded to. The fact they played well last year. This is just building on prior success.
Yeah.
So I'm not nervous at all about what they can do. No. And defensively, they're going to be very, very competitive against a much more competitive kind of top five, top six in the East. But they're going to struggle with certain teams.
I think so, too. I think it'll be really interesting to follow this team and see who emerges as, the third or the fourth player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we obviously know who their starting lineup is, but who is that third player? Is it Jay Crowder? Is it Amir Johnson? Is it the bench play of Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown? But, you know.
Who would you wager at this point?
Are we propping?
Let's propose a prop right now. Who is number three in Boston?
Oh, man.
Do you want to speculate on Brown?
Well, I think he's going to be a giant bust, so.
So no.
But who knows? I've been wrong before. I'm not batting 1,000 here. I think Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder's going to be that guy who's going to be probably playing a lot of minutes, probably playing throughout, when they do, the wholesale change of benches and, you know, the hockey lineup shifts. He'll probably stick around in terms of the starter in the lineup. I think Jay Crowder might be the third.
Man.
Dude.
It could be.
You're breathing heavy right now.
I know. I'm just trying to think here. My initial gut suspicion was Amir Johnson over Jay Crowder, but I don't know.
He has like a Birdman role on this team, though. He doesn't score anything. He just Birdmans. He just gets more tattoos on his neck.
That's fair. But if Birdman propels him to three, I'm okay with
that. Dude, Birdman's on the Cavs. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's very, very crazy.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about Coach Stevens. Does he add what else does he add to this team just in terms of their integration with the new players?
Oh, what college coaches deal with new players
all the time,
and he's third, fourth year in, so he's already. Everyone looks up to him as one of the best coaches in the NBA. So with that experience from people being one and done in the turnover,
yeah,
as well as the just the influx of new players being experienced in the NBA, I think he's more than ready. He's born ready.
Sure.
And I think Al Horford is going to be kind of the coach on the court, I think.
Okay. I'll definitely agree with that. I don't know if it's a key, more so a question for me right now, and it's just pacing. So I know the defensive prowess of this team, but the offensive pacing that they'll maintain.
So what they've really geared their team based around is defense first, and offense will just kind of happen somehow.
Yeah.
And that's why they have Isaiah Thomas on the team. I think what they're going to do is pace when they can, but slow the game down every time. every time the half court offense use up 20 seconds, 24 seconds.
Wow.
But every time they get a steal, every time they get a defensive rebound, they're sprinting, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's where their trend is happening anyways, but with Boston specifically.
Sure.
But if it's a defensive rebound and they're already back, they're going to run the team. They're going to run the timeout in terms of slowing the game down. That's my opinion.
All right.
That's how Steven really has implemented the offense anyways.
Do you have any other kind of keys for Boston?
Well, I did talk about the third guy, but, you know, in the event that other teams make a move, Boston has a lot of flexibility right now. They're under the cap. They have a couple more picks coming their way. They have these unknowns that could be moved because they're unknowns and they could be stars, and Jaylen Brown and other people, you know, RJ Hunter, Terry Rozier. They could move them for another piece, potentially, to help augment them to top-tier status, which they already kind of are. So just kind of staying the course of who they are as a team, their identity doesn't change. But in the event that other teams are making moves to shuffle their roster, like Toronto, who knows what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
Bulls, who knows what they're going to do. Knicks, who knows what they're going to do. They might have to be ready to make a move. And they have the assets, too. So
sure. We'll continue to
follow. I think that's a key because, you know, there's going to be a lot of roster depth, but they need to find out who that five is to close every game out. And that might be different every game, and that's not necessarily a good thing in the playoffs.
Okay. So let's go a little bit into weaknesses.
Oh, sure. Oh, you're right.
I mean, I would say basically just competition in the East is going to be really, really I think it's
deeper than it's ever been in a long time.
It's fierce at the top. So, I mean, I think the other, you know, starting with Cleveland, Toronto, New York, Chicago, even
our next adding team, Charlotte, and the Charlotte.
Charlotte and Pacers, like it just gets much more competitive. So I don't think it's as easy to kind of win games as prior seasons. Yeah. So, but I think they have the defensive prowess to play with those teams. It's just they need to back it up offensively.
I'm surprised you didn't list off the Jeremy Lin Nets, but the Brooklyn.
As the top of the East, get out of here. Get out.
Okay.
10 days to think about how awful a statement that was before they prove it.
I don't think there's many other weaknesses other than like what we've kind of already talked about with keys.
Sure.
In discussion of what we're listing here.
Is there? Let's talk a little bit just about distribution of minutes. We talked about minutes a little bit just in terms of Thomas and Horford, but just distribution of minutes with this kind of crazy lineup. I don't think we're going to kind of have issues around
a perfect regular season team. Like anyone can be plug and play, like I said earlier, for like 10 to 15, 20 minutes. Like you're going to see Jonas Jerebko play like 30 minutes a game sometimes. And you're like, the fuck is this guy? And he's going to be playing a lot. So just, and you're going to see Kelly Olynyk being, you know, played at the five for 30, 40 minutes sometimes too. It's just based on their depth. Their strength is their depth. And the distribution of minutes is going to be key, except for possibly Isaiah Thomas. And that's where.
But he was only doing like 30. I looked at his stats earlier, and he was, at least in the preseason games, they were doing like 34.
Okay.
34 minutes a game, which I think is
quite
doable. So
they have Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley, Terry Rozier, so I think they're fine in terms of backup spot minutes. Okay. And that is crucial. It's just a spot minute. They're not passers, not playmakers.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on from weaknesses to kind of the last aspect of the Celtics, and that's just kind of thoughts and predictions. Let's start out with our predictions for number of wins that they're going to have this season. I am thinking, so first and foremost, I'm going with 82. 82 is the number of games.
That's right.
I'm going to base this out of 82 games.
Did you check that stat?
That has been checked and verified. Thank you. I'm going with 55 wins for this team this season.
55. Jason Williams number. White chocolate. I'm going to go with 52. I'm going to go just a little bit under. I think they're going to be third or fourth seed in the East. And I think 57, 58 is probably going to be first. You know, so that's going to be Cleveland right there, 57, 58.
Okay, I'm saying they're fourth in the East, which may actually need to reduce my number. But
well, I mean, Cleveland could go 72 and 10, you know, like, no, they won't. But like Cleveland could go 60 games too, so you don't have to adjust it based on what I just said.
No, but
you got to stick to your guns, man.
I know. So I basically at this point I have. I don't know if I want to give the order away. I think I got to keep the.
You can't give anything away.
I need to keep it keep it for prediction. Next week's crucial prediction episode.
You got to keep our listeners foaming at the mouth, being like, what is he going to say?
Yeah. All right, so we're going to take a short break here, come back with our analysis on the Pacers. All right. We are back. No, we're back with the Pacers. After an awesome rundown on the Celtics. So, you know, let's just kind of kick it off with, you know, who we got. We got in the lineup for the Pacers, and then just go through through what we did with the Celtics.
At the very top, we got LaVoie Allen. I gotta say,
thank you.
We got a starting five: Amata Ellis, Jeff Teague, Paul George, Thaddeus Young, Miles Turner. Hell yeah!
So
that looks so good on paper.
It does look pretty good. So who would you? That's the starting five. Kind of looking at the other players, who would you add to kind of the short list? Obvious bench rotation players as well. Al Jefferson has to be on that list.
Yeah, Al Jefferson, CJ Miles, LaVoie Allen, and Rodney Stuckey. So that's like a probably 8-9 man rotation.
Okay, and then I'm sorry, Nick Zeisloft. I just don't know who you are.
Next year.
Okay.
He'll be a free agent. He's going to be on the come up.
So the additions for the Pacers this year were obviously, so Teague came from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Where did Thaddeus come from? Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
Okay. And then Niang came from?
Draft?
Yeah, he's draft guy. And then Big Al?
Came from Charlotte.
Why did? Was Al was in Utah before that, yeah. Right?
Minnesota traded him to Utah.
Okay. So Minnesota, Utah to Charlotte. So, and now back to the Pacers. He's so hard to keep track of.
He's a Renaissance man.
Just all over the league. So
yeah, all over that weed too.
interesting additions. So yeah. Let's run through our projected stats leaders. So I think this is a no-brainer in terms of points. I mean, if you're going to go with somebody else besides George, I want to hear a good reason.
I don't have a good reason, but maybe Monte Ellis.
Ooh.
Monte have it all, man.
Yeah.
Or T could really just take over. He's like, you know, I just got traded.
But do you think that's honestly going to happen? I don't see the Teague thing happen. I could see Monta Ellis just taking the ball and just shooting it more.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
they got a new coach, though, too, from you know, an assistant, Nate McMillan. So he's going to instill a pretty nice offensive set. So I don't know if there's going to be a whole lot of, like, free ball action, like just ISO.
Yeah.
So that's where Monta Ellis has it best. I'm personally thinking that you're right. I mean, I don't know why I'm even blabbering on here. It's George, right? Like, next subject. Next.
All right. So rebounds. I think I'm going to stay with George for this.
Yeah. I'm going to go. I know Miles Turner is actually a little bit weak on rebounds.
Okay.
But I think he's really going to have to be that presence in the middle to help this offense gel. And by offense, I mean grab the rebound to start the offense. So I think he's going to lead the team.
You think Miles Turner is going to lead the team in rebounds? It's your prediction. All right.
Yeah, that's my dark horse candidate. Their starting center.
No, I think it's fine. I just think I think George is going to dominate on those two.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But we continue moving. So going down to assists, I think that Ellis kind of takes this over.
I think it's a good idea that to propose Ellis. I think for the most part, though, I think Teague has the ball in his hands like 60% of the time. So it's going to be Teague and George running the show. Ellis is going to be the beneficiary of a lot of drives, and then he's going to do his own drives or fast breaks.
Okay.
And that's my opinion. It's going to be Teague.
I think I can side with Teague. I can't side with George on this. Okay, so minutes, moving down to minutes. I mean,
Paul George again.
I think it's George, but I don't know. I'm interested to see how McMillan kind of stacks up this offense and exactly kind of how it plays out. Like, frankly, this is a crapshoot. I mean, he's the all-star on the, like, he's like the definitive all-star on the team right now, but I don't know. I really don't know. And he's like, even though there's no signs of like, he's fine. He appears to be fine. I just don't know, like, what pressure they have on him. And if they can go 8 or 9 deep, like, how many minutes does he really have to play?
Right.
But, you know, going back to kind of what we talked about for Boston, like, the East is a lot more competitive. So I think these guys are going to have to play deeper in those games. So I don't know. I'm gonna kind of stick with them.
I'm going to agree with you. And actually, I probably would have initially disagreed. But looking at their roster, looking at what we just predicted as their, like, their short bench, the short list for the bench.
Yeah.
There's no backup three.
Yeah.
So who's spelling minutes for George? It's going to probably be Thaddeus Young. It's probably going to be CJ Miles.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want that. So no. George is probably going to play 35, 40 minutes a game, which is crazy.
If he plays 40 minutes, watch out. Watch for George on the injury watch list.
Oh, sure.
Or
MVP watch, too.
Nah, dude. He's behind Westbrook. We've already said this. All right, so steals. I'm dropping in Ellis at this point. Like,
yeah,
I think it's tough to challenge that one.
Mm-hmm.
Blocks. I'm going with your boy Miles Turner on this one.
My boy.
You called him out against me, so he's gonna be your boy for this episode.
You're here. 7'2", Miles Turner. I'm gonna get them blocks.
He averaged like a block per game last year, didn't he?
Yeah. Was he a rookie last year?
I think so.
That's insane.
I think he was. We'll have to go into kind of research mode here. Do you know? Well, I really wish we had more time before the season just to delve into how crazy the Lakers were.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully we'll probably do it in the first couple of weeks because just how upside down that team is going to be right. in the first part of the season. Right. So,
okay,
they're not going to be Philly bad, but
they're going to be feeling pretty bad.
That's very true. All right, so let's go into some keys for the Pacers. So,
sorry.
I think that getting started quickly so they can have an opportunity to utilize their bench is going to be a big thing. Especially against Cleveland, New York,
the top
Chicago,
of the East.
Like
the
Toronto.
Super teams of the East.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. The super teams of the East. What an oxymoron. No, but if they don't get started fast, those starters are going to play heavy minutes and they're going to get diluted. Mm-hmm. Their energy is going to be diluted pretty quickly.
For sure.
So just any other kind of thoughts around pacing?
Well, they are the Pacers.
Man, just laying up the puns just left and right here.
At your
no, but so what kind of like what kind of tempo do you think McMillan is going to put in place here?
I actually think they're going to be pretty slow.
Okay.
I think they're going to be pretty slow because Miles Turner, Big Al Jefferson are slow prodders. I think Paul George needs time to openly get his shot off. He can't just dribble into a shot like Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually like been unable to do that his entire career. I think Jeff Teague is going to be a ball hog and handler, and he will have to force himself to pass, and that's going to eat up time, just like thinking about what to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think... people like Thaddeus Young have like a 10-second shot arc. You know, it's like he builds up his shot and it takes 10 seconds to shoot. You're right?
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, I know, I'm just saying, like, I think they're going to be a really slow prodding team. They're going to be like, you know, 90s is their scoring peak. You know, 90s max, 90s to 100 max.
Ooh.
Because they're going to slow the game down a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they'll play well against the bottom, but they're going to. I don't think they're going to win a lot of games against the top if they only score in the low to mid 90s. I don't think that's going to win many games.
Okay. So. Well, I hear you on that. Maybe we'll have to see. You know,
I think
you're right in that sense.
But going back to your point, going back to a point that I made earlier, like this team is hard to predict without kind of. I think we can predict them on paper, but what we're actually going to see is going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
It's going to be up and down. They could get streaky. If they get some wins behind them, we might see this team kind of catapult up, but they could get a reality check pretty quickly.
I think so.
So, okay, just some other keys. I think that just utilizing George effectively, just letting him be the dominant force on the team is going to be a big thing. Not that they haven't done that before, but when he's taken charge, they've gotten streaky before.
Oh, yeah.
As a result of just just having him kind of power through and go for 30 or 40 mm-hmm. in a game. So
definitely.
So I think that could definitely happen. You know, talking a little bit about their size, like they have
– that's a strength of theirs.
Definitely a strength, and it's definitely a key. But they unlike some of the other teams that we've talked about, they have size in their starting lineup, but they also have size on their bench,
yeah.
which is so awesome for
them.
That's
great.
Like, and they're going to take advantage. And they're gonna match up well against some other teams especially. So.
Yeah, so adding to my point or evolving my train of thought there about slowing the pace down, they can afford to do that because – they can play the 24-second clock on defense and on offense to the fullest because they have such a deep bench. I know how obvious that statement was. But then also, they're going to be a good regular season team because of the strength of their bench.
Can I tell you that just walking through this exercise makes me want to see the Indy Houston game so much.
Oh, God.
Just like Houston run and gun versus a slowed down tempo with a bunch of big guys. So, oh man,
that would be pretty fun. No, I want to see Indiana versus Philadelphia. It's like Philadelphia starting five is everyone with 7 foot and above.
Yeah.
Versus like Jahlil Okafor at the three. Nerlens Noel at the two.
Oh my God, Nerlens Noel at the two. That's nuts.
Yeah.
The fourth point here is just kind of getting into some defensive rebounding. Use their size not only in terms of pacing, but use their size to, you know, to draw down those defensive boards that I think they need to capitalize on.
Just thinking about what this is, I know Big Al used to be a great rebounder. He's since relaxed or regressed. I know Miles Turner needs some time still to gel as an actual force down low. Lavoie Allen is probably their best rebounder, and he's off the bench, and he's going to be playing 10, 15 minutes a game. Dude, I think you're right about George being probably the leading rebounder. I think that's probably a legit prediction now.
Yeah.
Because though they have size,
yeah.
they kind of lack.
They don't necessarily have depth at what they have size, but they don't really have like
rebounding depth
or like refined rebounding skill.
Like tenacity down low. Yeah. Dude, Miles Turner is a great jump shooter.
Yeah.
Big Al is a pretty decent like shot putter, you know?
Yeah.
But he doesn't like shoot the ball and get his rebounds.
Yeah.
You know, Miles Turner shoots from three. He's like already trailing back. You know,
that's my
point. I think you are actually right, and I think that's going to be 100%. Let's lock it in that George is now going to be the rebounder.
I'm saving the contents of this clip for a further episode in the season when I'm terribly wrong, when I'm terribly terribly wrong. Not about this, just about whatever else.
When you're down 120 in props, like, bust this out, raise your spirit up. Let's go double or nothing.
All right. So the next point I have here is just utilizing Teague effectively. You talked a little bit about kind of you think Teague might be. He may hog the ball a little bit. He may kind of like slow it down.
Yeah, but no, you're to your point. They need to actually influence. He needs to be an influence in every outcome of the game. So,
yeah.
They've had George Hill. They've had other players that are kind of like mediocre.
He's better than George Hill. That's for sure.
I know. So to that point, he's going to be used. He's going to be shooting a lot. He's going to be probably getting, you know, 15, 20 points a game. He's not George Hill. Because George Hill is a great defender, but terrible on offense. So they're going to have to be more offensive-minded with Teague.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be their strength. Teague and their offense.
And I think the one positive thing about integrating Teague is, like, they don't have a ton of other starters that they're integrating as well. So it's, like, integrating Teague into this system.
Right.
And he's, you know, he's an all-star caliber player. You know, maybe not starting, but definitely an all-star caliber player. Like, he's going to get it, and I think it's just kind of working through that offense and kind of just building some time together.
Yeah,
that's why this team could be like they could be very dangerous, but they could also just be.
I know,
but we'll get into that in the last part of the predictions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talked a little bit about Al Jefferson, just kind of impact. You know, you said he's got. He doesn't necessarily have the rebounding capability that he once had, but he's still an okay shooter, so he could give you some points off the bench, but I don't necessarily want to rely on him for big points. You know, deep in a game, it's still with how veteran he is, I think he can still make an impact, but I don't know, like a 10 or 15 point guy. on a good night. So
yeah,
I don't think at that point
that's not like peak Al Jefferson. And then why do you have him on your team if he's only scoring 10 points, you know, off the bench?
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm confused about Al Jefferson on this team. But he's going to be great for them in terms of just offense.
Yeah.
It's just they need more offense from their bench. That's why they're super deep. But I'm confused about them. I'm actually a sneaking, a subtle, like, trade with Al Jefferson to something else. To, like,
wow.
To somewhere. I don't think they're going to last with him.
Where might he potentially go? Dude, are we gonna let's hot take it? Where do you hot take?
Okay,
yeah, let's hot take it. Where do you think he could go?
Well, Philadelphia really needs a big right now. So. That, with Ben Simmons being injured,
that is so terrific.
They need a backup three. You know, I think
Al Jefferson,
Brooklyn could be an interesting spot for him.
Oh, jeez,
Sacramento could be like what? And then
what about like here? This may not be right, but
Memphis?
What?
Go ahead.
What about New Orleans? I mean, they don't have any, like,
yeah.
They're struggling for depth down there. What about the Magic as well?
Dude, what did the Magic do? No, like, Aaron Gordon is playing the three for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Serge Ibaka, Bismack Biyombo are their starting front. Or no, Nick Vukovic, sorry. Biyombo's still off the bench.
Oh,
they don't need it. They don't need it.
Oh, Biyombo's off the bench. Okay, never mind.
No, it's Nikola Vucevic, Serge Ibaka, and Al Jefferson. Man, it's late. Let's go.
All right. So we have not decided where Al Jefferson could potentially end up.
Well, I mean, I just threw this hot take thing out here. Like, I just don't see him gelling in this offense off the bench with like Aaron Brooks being their backup point guard. It's going to not happen. So. He's going to be an awesome like black hole on offense, and on defense he's going to be a net. He's going to be a net negative.
All right. Let's just do this on air. You want to throw down like a 120 day prop bet on Al Jefferson being traded?
$5.
Okay, $5. I'm going to say that he's not going to be traded.
Okay.
All right. That is the first prop.
Whoa!
That is the first prop bet of the season. The first prop bet of the season is an Al Jefferson trade bet. Oh, I'm so very excited about this.
Gucci.
The NBA weekly prop will be coming here shortly. All right. The last kind of key I think here is just the involvement of Thaddeus Young. So Thaddeus Young is kind of like he's been up and down, and like especially if he's going to be used as a starter. Like he just has to be a consistent performer, and if he's not going to be a consistent performer, I'm probably going to have to go double or nothing. I'm like, but I'm going to take the other side on that and say he's going to go somewhere else.
Interesting. So I actually like Thaddeus Young on the Pacers because it brings.
Do you like him simply because he was on the T-Wolves?
I mean, I like Al Jefferson too. Then
okay,
so that rule doesn't apply.
Fine, they're both Wolves. Fine.
Dude, Wolves are everywhere right now. they're dispersed.
They're just okay.
I like Thaddeus Young because he's coming off a really crappy team in Brooklyn. He has something to prove, so he has that chip on his shoulder. I think he's been a sub 30% 3-point shooter all career, but he's going to be asked to shoot a lot. I think so
he's going to be like 35%,
and that's not bad. And that's seriously what I'm thinking too.
Okay.
And because Big Al can't make a three. Miles Turner's still like, you know, the dude in the middle that needs to be in the middle.
Yeah.
And then they have Lavoie Allen who can't shoot a three. Their best 3-point shooter from their front court is Thaddeus Young. So they can't afford to let him go.
Okay.
Or they could start, you know, dusting off the Paul George at the four again, which he hated all of last year.
I don't like that.
No, neither do I.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm just saying I like him on this team because of that aspect.
I'm just so like distracted here about Al Jefferson shooting the three. Like just shot putting it up. Yeah. Like, oh my goodness. All right, so let's go into some of the other weaknesses. I don't think this is a big weakness, so I'm just going to touch on it briefly. I think after an injury as severe as what happened to George, he still has to be a potential health risk. Throughout his entire career, he's a Derrick Rose type to me moving forward.
Interesting.
Maybe not that severe,
but he
is potentially at risk just given what's happened.
Like, yeah. Well, everyone's at risk, but you're right. I would say that he came back with a vengeance last season. He was insane.
Sure.
So.
No. I'm not saying it's even likely, but I'm just saying weird things can happen, especially when if you've been hurt before.
You know, there was so many distractions that year that he got injured. Mm-hmm. The year after he got injured, like with the Lance Stevenson, the Roy Hibbert, the whole team collapsing underneath him. He got injured, so then we couldn't see what he was like. Mm-hmm. Then he got to full, you know, full on one full year with him. It was pretty great. All I want to say is there's no, you know, ill will towards this dude. I think he's one of the greater players in the NBA right now, top 10 for sure. Mm-hmm. It would be such a travesty if he goes down with some sort of like...
No, I wish...
Because I really want this team to like get in the playoffs because I'm kind of sick of the Clevelands and I'm a little getting sour on the Raptors. And I just want to see... I just want to see I just want to see a new face, and I think Paul George is a cool face in the NBA, you know?
No, he definitely is. And I think, you know,
I just want him to not do the swirls in his hair anymore. Just like stop that crap.
That's fine. That's a fair ask, really. Yeah. No, so I'm not wishing any ill will towards him. I'm just saying if you go down with a huge injury and let me just finish my thought here. If you've gone down in a huge injury before, your likelihood playing at the pacing that the NBA requires now, it just puts you at a higher susceptibility to something happening.
Yeah, you're right.
Given what's happened last year and given his vengeance, you know, the tears that he was on, I don't think it's not a major concern for me, but I just, you have no idea. Like, and it's weird stuff can happen.
That's right.
So, the other weakness that I have is just kind of player integration.
I think you just want to be a believer first. You want to see it to believe it. You know?
Yeah, I do want to see it to believe it, but I do have questions. Just like the Teague integration and the Thaddeus Young integration to me are some outliers. I don't know. I know that they can play, but can they play with this roster? So
because this is kind of, you know, maybe not 100% correct, but this is probably the strongest team that Teague has ever been on, and I'm saying that. Knowing that they had that 66-win team, the Atlanta Hawks, that went deep into the playoffs, but, you know, lost to the Cavs.
Because that was – okay, let's just go through the starters on that team. Because that was Teague.
Cephalosa,
Horford.
Corver.
Millsap. Wow. I think it's close. I think it's very close.
I think this team is better.
With this team, but, I mean –
Actually, you're right. So, Millsap is better than Thaddeus Young by far.
Yes,
Al Horford is better than Miles Turner currently.
Yes,
and probably future. Paul George is extremely better than Kyle Korver.
Yes,
and I would say Monte Ellis is better than Thabo Cephalosa.
Yeah,
and I would say George Hill is probably, you know, weaker than Jeff Teague, because Teague can take over games. Hill cannot do anything.
Mm-hmm. So where does that put us?
That's actually, I don't know.
I think it's close.
Yeah, it's close.
I think it's close. I think the reality is that they're not going to win. This team is not going to win 67 games. But they may actually go further in the playoffs.
Interesting. And what counts more? Neither if they don't win a championship, well, I guess.
Boy, you've been watching too many sports announcers on that.
Oh, sure.
Okay, let's go through a couple more weaknesses here. Maintaining momentum, and you could say that about every team, but this team especially, it was so streaky last season, and I think it will be streaky this season. So it's just like build upon your successes, keep moving forward.
Yeah,
especially against, like, they could go from really really weak teams, you know, playing the Pelicans, playing the Nets, playing whoever else, and like. They could easily kind of capitalize on those games, but then the other games they could just find themselves hurting. So they just need to use that as a strength, kind of moving forward.
You're right. Maintaining momentum in both facets of the game, offense and defense, is going to be really hard to come by because Monta Ellis and Jeff T can have terrible shooting nights, and then they're net negatives on defense. Right? They don't defend very well, so it's like they have to be really reliant on those two for this team to do well from a backcourt standpoint.
Yep.
And you're going to have them shooting like 5 for 20 sometimes, you know, 4 for 20 or 23 or something. That's a Monta Ellis stat line. That's going to happen.
4 for 23?
That can happen. That has happened in Milwaukee. I know. I remember seeing that.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyways, so it's everything, dude. This momentum is going to be so key for this team because they're going to lose it. I know it.
No, they will certainly lose it. Hopefully, hopefully they can kind of build into the season, get a few wins, get players integrated well, so players aren't feuding with each other. Kind of just start with, and then as the season goes, like go up and down. If they could stay around 500, you know, I think they can, and they find momentum after the All-Star break. This team could potentially gravitate itself even higher into the playoffs.
And it really rests in the end on McMillan. And McMillan is our last point on the weakness of this thing. He's a new coach. He's been a coach before, but he's a new coach to this team. He's going to have to kind of take over the reins of Frank Vogel, which was kind of a very suspect firing. I think there were some underground conversations that were just unkept, you know, and just bad blood. And I don't understand it completely, but I know that Nick McMillan is a very successful Portland and Seattle head coach.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. And I do doubt him as a starting or as a head coach on this team, in this league and in this team.
Okay.
I doubt a little bit about it.
But I like so here's a
because question. We wrote it down as a weakness.
No. Thanks. That's reason enough. But any time you get a new coach in a new environment, I think that is a potential weakness, and I don't know. But I guess the one point against or I guess for him is just like the strength of this team anyways, especially the starters.
Yeah.
Like, this team may be able to win games without that much coaching. So, to the original weakness itself, I think that, he's new. He's new, and he may struggle through the first little bit. However, this team could just declare itself like, hey, we want to win some games and just, like, really go nuts.
Yeah, sure.
And he's the recipient. He's the... what's the guy's name from the assistant coach who's now the head coach for Golden State?
Oh, Luke Walton.
Yeah. He.
You wanted me to say Luke Walton on air?
No, I wanted to say Luke Walton because I go into Luke Walton syndrome where you don't have to coach and you still win games. You still win a lot of games. Okay. So, but
he did go 24-0. You're right. He's the best coach of all time.
I really hope that's the only time we have to mention Luke Walton on this podcast. Yeah.
Inevitably, he'll be coming back up, though.
All right, so let's jump and kind of close this episode out. So, thoughts and predictions for the Pacers.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking that they land sixth in the East. So, where are they going to fall? I don't want to give it all away, but I think they kind of fall right in that New York Boston territory, like right around those guys. So that could be a very close race. So they could move up, they could move down a little bit. They're not going to be at the bottom of the East. I don't think they're 7 or 8. I think that's reserved for a few other teams that we'll get into later.
Yeah, no spoilers, man.
No spoilers.
I say maybe fourth in the East. I think they're going to be a really good regular season team. They have the momentum going for them with the depth, with the new people, with the chip on their shoulders, with the new coach. Everyone's going to have to buy in. I think they're going to buy in early. And I think they're going to win about 52 games maximum. Like, that's their peak.
Okay.
I think that's good enough for fourth in the East. I think it's going to be like 57 is first, you know, so.
Okay, I got 47 wins. I'm thinking 40.
What did I say, 52?
You said 52. I think we're fairly close.
$5.
five games. I'm not betting $5 on this quite yet. Okay. I think George is also a potential MVP candidate.
Far behind Westbrook.
Far. I think far behind Westbrook. however, if they go fourth in the East, Paul George has put on a performance.
At least one.
No, he's put on a performance all season if they go fourth in the East. Definitely. So but I don't like.
Well, would his performance be as good as Kanye?
No,
it's coming up at the key.
It's not going to be as good as Kanye. So now I gotta compare Paul George. I gotta compare him to Westbrook and to Kanye. Like, I'm sorry, Paul George, if you're listening to this.
The only thing that they have in common is that they're alive and they're people and they're black. I guess.
I can't touch that. I'm a white guy, so like.
But we don't see color on this show.
We just see the ball.
We just see swish. We see the color swish.
All right, so that's going to close off this episode. So, hey, thanks
for this was fun, man.
Hey, thanks for joining us. So, we're going to get into we're going to do a little bit of some analysis for teams as we get into the season, but we probably won't do full full comparison episodes after that.
You don't want us to.
As we get into actual stats and some crazy prop betting.
Oh, yeah. That's where it's going to be.
Yeah.
You guys have to stick with us, though. This was the off season, and if you like this, just like we're going to be on a new level.
Yeah, so it'll be really fun. Yeah. My specialty is around regular season ball.
Oh, really?
So.
My specialty is a post All-Star break.
Fine.
Okay.
Fine. Mine is the start of the season when I know what to bet on. So
you know what to bet on.
All right, so that concludes this episode. So stay with us. Join us next week. Next week for our special prediction episode. So we should have, I think we have Chicago fans, we have some Cleveland fans, we may even have some Portland fans in the house for this one. And a couple, my brother's coming. So I think we have another T-Wolf fan coming.
Hell
so
yeah,
it's gonna be great. All right,
Wolves on the come up.
This is Hondo and Geef for Riding the Pine. We out.
Peace.
This has been a Zencast Studios production.